Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and you're very welcome to the programme today. Coming up over the next 2 hours, as the bodies of six hostages are recovered by the Israeli army, we'll hear from a doctor just returned from Gaza about the humanitarian situation there now. The former head of the Irish Coast Guard on that search for those still missing after the sinking of a luxury yacht off the Italian coast. Joe Biden's farewell speech, protests and all eyes on Kamala Harris, the latest from the Democratic National Convention. How hefty sentences for British rioters have left prisons there on the brink. Mark Paul joins us from London on that. Professor Luke O'Neill on why the ages of 44 and 60 are major milestones for ageing, and decoding ultra-processed food labels. Dietitian Louise Reynolds will help us understand what's good and what's bad. You can text us on 51551 and you can email the programme today, cb@rte.ie. But first today, a report in this morning's Irish Independent says that the government is planning to defer the introduction of its landmark residential zoned land tax, which was due to come into effect in February of next year. Now, this tax was announced firstly in Budget 2022. It would have seen land zoned for residential development taxed at 3% of its market value. And the aim of this was unlocking the land for house building. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Professor Michelle Norris, who's director of the Geary Institute for Public Policy at UCD. And Michelle is with me here in the studio. And in a moment, we'll hear from Bill O'Keefe, who's chair of the Farm Business Committee with the IFA, and also Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning at the Home Builders Association. So, Professor Norris, I want to start with you on this. How significant do you think it would be if this tax on zoned land is deferred, as is being suggested in these reports in The Independent this morning?
Well, I think it would be very significant, Claire, and also very negative. So we're due to have a general election by the spring. So if the tax is deferred, this would essentially mean the tax, it would be up to the next government to introduce the tax or not. So essentially deferment in this case means that the tax is just being set aside in full or abolished.
Dead in the water.
Dead in the water. And the tax is essentially a tax on land hoarding. So as you mentioned, the tax applies to land that's zoned residential. In other words, planners have decided that this land is suitable for housing development. It's generally land on the edges of towns and cities, and it's often land where the state has spent billions in providing the infrastructure we need for housing. So that's power, water, sewage, etc.
Not always, though. It's not always serviced land, is it?
It's not always serviced land, but and it's certainly, in my view, if the land can't be developed, it should be exempt from the tax. So if it can't be developed because the land is not serviced, it should be exempt from the tax. But in recent years, we have really improved our track record in relation to zoning and planning for housing development. So during the Celtic Tiger, as many listeners will know, we had very, very loose planning for housing and a huge amount of zoning of land and chronic overzoning of land and development in the wrong parts of the country. That situation has been really tightened up in recent years. The Department of Housing went out and dezoned a lot of land, and they then introduced provisions that in future decisions to zone land or not would be linked to detailed assessments of the need for housing in that locality, mm-hmm. called housing needs and supply assessments.
So these decisions have been made, you say, they're based on strong and reliable foundations. But we've had farmers in here, in particular, I remember from North Dublin, saying we have farmed this land for generations. Now we're being told that we're going to have to pay tax on small profits, which will just make it unviable. So what we're hearing this morning is the deferral will happen to take farmers out of this entire process. Do you agree with that, if that's what's on the agenda?
Firstly to say that unless the land, all zoned land, is brought forward for residential development, we have no prospect in this country of making a serious inroads into our housing supply crisis. So that's why this tax is appropriate.
For farmers?
Just to say, first of all, obviously I have a lot of sympathy for people who are farmers and have farmed land for generations. And I am from, they say everyone's just one generation from the farm in this country. And that's certainly the case in my case. So I think in the case of farmers, there is an argument for applying the tax at a lower level that wouldn't make farms non-viable. But I am against a blanket exemption for farmers because, firstly, this affects very few farmers. The vast majority of farmland is not zoned for housing or zoned for anything else except agriculture. It's in the open countryside. Secondly, where farms are located, for instance, in North County Dublin, on the edge of Cork City, Kilkenny City, Waterford City, etc., urban areas, we need to bring that land forward for housing where it's zoned for housing. Otherwise, we just will not deliver enough housing. Now, builders, developers are in a separate category, in my view. For most housing development, the price of the land and the profit are about the same. They're around 12 to 15% of the of the selling price. Mm-hmm. So a levy of 3% is not actually enormous. It would just reduce that profit by that amount every year.
Or increase the price of the house for the buyer, ultimately.
Well, it would encourage developers. I don't agree. It would encourage developers where they're not using their land banks to sell the land or bring it forward for housing. So it would increase the number of sales of land on the market, which you would expect to reduce the price.
Okay. Michelle, let's hear from some of our other guests now. As I say, Bill O'Keefe is with us, Chair of the Farm Business Committee with the IFA. So, Bill, we've spoken about this before. You've heard Michelle say that as far as she is concerned, given this news this morning, this tax is dead in the water, which is what you wanted, right?
No, Claire. Well, we wouldn't have specifically wanted that. We just wanted actively farmed land exempt from the scope of the tax, and our members and our farmers placed outside of the scope of the tax. And look, contrary to what Michelle has said there, we have hundreds of our farmers right across the whole country, not just near the cities, but including farmers in the cities who wish to stay farming, who cannot afford to pay the tax. And it's not a tax on the profits, Claire. It's a tax on the value of the land. And none of those farmers are earning the kind of money that would be needed to be able to pay that tax and stay farming that ground.
So tell me what you've heard about this, because we're just going on this report in the Irish Independent. The Irish Times had something about it a couple of weeks ago saying talks were happening. What have you heard?
Talks are happening all the time. Yeah, we're continuing to lobby, and we will continue to lobby after today. And we are meeting both ministers, Dara O'Brien for housing and Jack Chambers for finance. Farmers will meet them on farms in different parts of the country today, in Dublin and in Mayo. And what we've heard is what's in the article. We haven't heard anything else. Yes, I'm meeting Dara O'Brien in Malahide this morning on a farm to find out what he has to say, and other members are meeting Jack Chambers over in Mayo. So we listen to what they have to say. I think they've moved this on again 12 months, but maybe with the proviso that they want to exclude farmland permanently from the scope of the tax, which we would welcome. But just to be clear on it, Claire, we did not look for it to be postponed. We just want to find a definition for farmers and place our members and our farmers outside of the scope of the tax.
Okay, so you'd be happy for the tax to go ahead, but for farmers to be exempt.
Yeah, we have no issue with the tax per se. Whatever method the government wants to use to mobilise land for housing, it's up to them. But we just have to protect the rights of our members to make choices on whether they want to stay actively farming or sell the land.
All right. Well, we have requested a statement on all of this from the Department of Finance this morning. Just listening there to what Bill is saying, Michelle, does that, in your view, potentially create a loophole if farmers, people who are actively farming this zoned land, are exempt? Because you could be a developer who's waiting for the prices to go up and you could say, well, I'll put cattle on that and then I'm exempt from the tax.
Well, I don't believe farmland that's zoned for housing should be exempt from the tax, any farmland. And I don't accept that farmland that's in the open countryside is zoned for housing, first of all. It's land adjacent to existing urban areas is zoned for housing. But secondly, even though, as I said, I do have sympathy for farmers who have farmed land for generations, but the concern with managing an exemption is that it would be open to abuse. So a huge proportion of farmland now is leased from the owner by other farmers who are actively farming it. What would stop a development company from leasing land for housing? What would stop a development company from employing a farm manager and saying, you know, manage cows or sheep or whatever on that land? So my concern is the potential for abuse. These types of measures were initially introduced in 2015 and they have been deferred on many, many occasions as the housing crisis has gotten worse. And if there were any exemptions, they should really only apply to land that was farmed actively prior to 2015. Mm-hmm. And I would have concerns about the potential for abuse of any exemption.
Well, Conor O'Connell is with us too, Director of Housing and Planning at the Irish Home Builders Association. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm sure you're welcoming this news today about this potential deferral of the tax.
Look, again, like the other callers or the other speakers there, we have to wait until we get more of the detail, but certainly the tax was originally intended as an activation measure, not a taxation measure. But unfortunately, what has transpired through the mapping process from our members' point of view, from active house builders trying to activate lands for residential development purposes, is that it didn't take enough cognizance or recognition of the factors outside the control of the house builder, which delayed the delivery of the lands for residential purposes, such as infrastructure provision, such as you're winding your way through the planning system. There was deferrals that could be activated, but they didn't take account of the many, many constraints in relation to trying to activate your land.
Okay, so you're saying you have developers who want to start building houses, but they can't because they can't get the water connected or the electricity connected or the planning through, and they were going to be subject to this tax through no fault of their own.
Exactly, and it's these factors outside of the control of the house builder that we felt weren't taken into account enough. I mean, the biggest complaint that we have from house builders at the moment, or one of the biggest concerns, is that they are actively concerned about the supply of zoned and serviced land into the future in the next year or two. There are significant constraints in relation to the availability of serviced and zoned land. So obviously, we'd welcome any measure that would activate lands for residential development purposes, because that's our business. Our business model is developing houses, is building homes for people. But unfortunately, like, if you have a tax with an unintended consequence that is going to actually add to the delivery cost, that's going to add to the price of a home, and that's in nobody's interest. So if the residential zoned land tax was reformed to take account of the factors such as, you know, difficulty getting a connection, you're in a planning process and you're getting appealed, if it took those factors into account, of course we'd welcome any measure that would activate lands.
So now we'll have exemptions for farmed land and we'll have exemptions for developers who can't get the infrastructure in place. It makes a mockery of it, really, doesn't it?
Look, from our perspective, all we want to do is build homes. So I'm not quite sure if we'd make a mockery of it if the tax, at the moment, we've got a real constraint in relation to the provision of infrastructure on zoned lands. Fundamentally, we don't have enough zoned lands to take account of our population growth, is one of the biggest arguments we've made at the moment. So if a tax or a measure like this, which was never intended to be a tax, was intended to be a land activation measure, if it was actually tweaked to be a land activation measure, of course we'd welcome it. But it has to take into account where we're at now in relation to the provision of infrastructure, the constraints in the planning system, the delays in the planning system, and other factors which are genuinely delaying homes from being constructed on lands that our members want to build on.
Okay, Michelle, you want to come back in there?
Just to say, in response to this, the issue around land that doesn't have sewage or water infrastructure and can't be developed, can't be built on, or where planning permission is held up in the courts, that's actually quite a valid concern on the home builders' side, in my view. But that could be dealt with simply by amending the memos and the circulars from the Department of Housing that underpin the application of the tax. It's not a reason for deferring it another year, which, as I've argued already, will essentially be the end of the tax. It's also the case that there is a lot of zoned land that's not being brought, that is serviced and is in suitable locations, that's not being brought forward for house building. And this tax would help to address this.
So that land, you say, is being hoarded and developers are waiting, or the owners are waiting until the value goes up.
The owners are waiting till the value goes up. And sometimes I think the term developer is not a useful term. So I think we need to differentiate between very large development companies that own land, may speculate on the price of land, may build on some of it. They're the companies with land banks. The vast majority of builders that actually supply housing in the country don't own land banks. They buy a site, they build on the site, they sell the houses to ordinary people, then they buy more land and build on it again. So the residential zoned land tax would actually benefit most builders because it would encourage the active sale of land.
Release the land.
Yeah. And just one final point, Claire, if you don't mind. One a section that's not being discussed in this debate is the public sector. So one of the biggest hoarders of land in the country are public bodies, particularly the HSE and the Army. So public bodies should also be subject to this land, even though the government will essentially be, they'll obviously be paying the tax to itself in a way, the government bodies. But at the moment, government bodies with that own land that's zoned residential, so that includes former psychiatric hospitals, etc., owned by the HSE all over the country, army barracks, etc., have no real incentive to use that land in intensive way and to bring it forward for housing or transfer it to the LDA.
That 3% tax on the value of the land would make them think again.
Absolutely. Okay. And the prospect of facing the 3% tax has encouraged government bodies to start looking more actively at their land banks.
All right, we'll leave that there now, but no doubt we'll be coming back to that one again. That's Professor Michelle Norris. We had Bill O'Keefe there from the IFA and Conor O'Connell from the Home Builders Association. Now next up to the United States to get the latest from the Democratic National Convention.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.